We're in Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph, Bezesh Shechoshev Kanatana. We had the well-known Mishnah that is a washir, a Samech Bechalkai, a Zel Chacham Alay Mikol Adam, and a Zel Gibar, Kaivesh Yisitzray. They seem to be three totally independent statements, and Chaim Volozhiner says they're all really one. They're all talking about the idea that if a person mixes humility with any of the midos, then it has a kiyum and it has a different different meaning. And he explains it here. Zeh shechoshev kanatana kol hashloisha mailos v'anava im kulam. They are we're in Perek Dal Mishnah Aleph. It was the page number.
Kuflamad
Aleph. I'm doing the pirush on the Mishnah. Right?
All the pirush.
Yeah, Bezesh Choshev Kanatana.
Oh,
let's see. It's the third paragraph or the fourth paragraph in total. Bezesh Choshev, maybe you don't have it as a separate paragraph. Venamik Levaroid, the paragraph before. Is it so difficult to find it? In your page, it's Kuflamid Bey is halfway through. The sentence before that. Va'amar is El Chacham. The paragraph, he did call out my lois on Kuflamid Bey. Okay, take two. Ready? Here we go. V'zesh chashu kanatana kol ha'shloisha ma'ilois anavim kulam. Va'amar, Ezel Chacham asher chachmasa in ha'shevis l'ma'ilot. Who is considered wise, whose wisdom is considered of value in heaven, in one of Al Yedei Zeh, if he is in one of, he practices humility, the other thing, because he's smart, he's above everyone. Because he learns from everyone, even those below him. Knowledge is the type of thing that, wisdom is the type of thing that no matter how smart you are and how much you know, there's always something you could learn from someone else. There's always something you can learn from somebody who has either some knowledge or some insight that you don't have. So a person can have a kasha, a very smart person can have a kasha, and someone less intelligent than him could come up with an answer. It's just the nature of wisdom. So we see that somebody who practices humility is really a chacham. He'll really get things straight. Now, he doesn't mention it, but it happens to be one of the keys to being successful in a person's knowledge is being able to back off from a position the person holds. People very often take a position on something and they're too proud to back down when they realize that it doesn't make any sense. They end up getting hurt by insisting on something that's not so. So you have a husband who's traveling with his wife. And he insists that the right turn is correct, not the left turn that she says. He makes a right turn, it's all wrong. So he's got to back off and make his left turn if he insists the right turn is right. So he's got to go around the world again to get back to where he wants to be. So part of the humility is for a person to be able to back off from a position he has, which it takes a certain amount of... A chacham can do it. Somebody who's not a chacham and his whole chachma depends on him being right is in trouble. All right, so for chachma we understand. Now, what a gevura? What does gevura have to do with humility? Let's see what he says. Chenezel gibor, who is powerful, she gevura sein deshevis lemaila, whose gevura is chashiv in heaven, umenichna v'shafel, ve'inimach she gevura sein. If he doesn't think his strength is important, ki im lekvishas yitzray, only for disciplining himself. Strength is good inwardly, for disciplining yourself, not for controlling others. And he doesn't try to control others because they're weaker than him. And that's true gevura. I saw when I was in Los Angeles the other day. There was a little bit of time in between. I pulled out the Divrei Yoel, the Sa'am Rebbe's Sefer HaChanukah. So he talks about Gevura. So he says something interesting about Rish Lakish. He says that Rish Lakish jumped across a river. It doesn't say how big the river was, but anyway, he jumped across. He was a highwayman. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. He jumped across to rob Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan gave him a whole speech, and he ended up becoming a Baal Tshuva because he bumped into Rabbi Yochanan. Now he became a Baal Tshuva. He married his sister. He became his brother-in-law. Says afterwards he agreed to learn Torah. He tried to jump back the other way. He was unsuccessful. Doesn't say if he fell into the water or doesn't describe it, but it says he was unable to. So the Gemara says because he was mekabel on himself to Olam Mitzvahs, and that weakened him. So it's hard to understand that in the space of an hour or so, he became weaker. So Samar Rebbe writes that he's writing about the Gibor Biyat Chaloshim, about the Chashmonaim. He says that a person's spirit is really what gives him strength. A person has resolve and determination. He can really pull off things that others can't do. In battle, the Kesef Mishnah says that it's not a miracle for a larger army to fall in the hands of a army that's smaller in number, if those that are smaller in number are more determined and resolved. Because there's Gevura Saruach, which has to do with strength, the Gevura person has. So as long as Rish Lakish was a highwayman, so what was important to him, his muscles and his strength, so he was able to, he had the Gevura to jump across the river. Once he realized that it's all silly, and a person who studies Torah properly is a person. A person who's into these silly things is not, if that's important to you, then there's something wrong. So when he came to jump back, the ability to jump, in a single bound, to be able to jump across, the Kfuras HaRuach he didn't have. He didn't have that spirit, that determination, that resolve that this is an important thing to me. So now he wasn't able to jump across. That's how he explains this idea. So maybe he left his briefcase on the other side. I don't know. I don't know why he was jumping back. I guess he lived on the other side. He had to go home and then pack up his clothing. I don't know. No idea. It's strange. Why is he jumping back? Yeah, okay. So I didn't think of that, but okay. At any rate, the idea is a nice idea that, what? It says he jumped.
Doesn't say jump.
But there's a Gemara, it says by, we always say Berchus HaGeshem, Yichad Leiv Gol Evin. We say Yaakov Avinu rolled the stone off the well, and Bavurai Atim Namayim. And that's Chus, but the Chus that he had big muscles, he was able to roll a stone off a well. So Cheshul Levitz writes that it's the Gevura Saruach. It's the determination and the resolve when a person is determined to do something, that's a Chus, that a person can do it. Anyway, that's Gevura. Izeu Ashir. Izeu Ashir Yechshav L'mayla. Who's wealthy that God considers wealthy? Izeu Samech B'chalka. I wrote Salim. She'ene Machshav Esatzmai Shuroi La'ashirus. He doesn't consider himself worthy of wealth. V'lo Yorim L'vavim Yechav Aniyim. He doesn't think he's any better because he has more money than his friends who are poor. Ki Mu Chayshev. He's thinking, Shechanai Hashem B'tayres Chanina V'samech B'chalka. Whatever he has, God gave him as a gift, and he's happy with it. He's joyful in his portion. Someone who doesn't consider his wealth to be his maila, his attribute, he's happy with what he needs. Other things he'll see to put away by dividing them to poor people. And he won't leave his wealth to others. Munvaz was asked why he gave out so much tzedakah. He said, I'm storing it for myself. So it's interesting that ashirus is a nice thing. But needing ashirus is not a nice thing. When a person has a great need for ashirus. We were learning in yeshiva the sugya of Matana Amidas Lahazir. There's a Gemara that says something that seems a bit strange. That if someone gives you a gift on the condition you give it back, and has a din of a gift, of whatever halachic terms. So I tried to explain why I don't get it. So I asked the boys in my class, if I gave you a cheese Danish on the condition you return it to me in an hour, why would that be considered a gift? That was, that's the obvious question. Am I giving you anything if you have to give it back to me? So that's the sugya of Matanam Laslahazir. So we got into talking about what it means to have money in the first place. When you Makadish and Isha give us something, it's not dependent on her using it. Having money and using money are really two different things, having possessing money. And so I asked my class, if someone said he'd give you $1 million, you have to put it in the bottom drawer of your desk and keep the drawer shut and never open it. The minute you open it, you have to give it back. They give you $1 million, all you can do is keep it in your drawer. So would anybody take it? So nobody in his right mind would take $1 million because plus you used to have $1 million. All you have is bait for thieves. You have no, if you can't use $1 million, then it makes no sense. So the question then is, why an elderly gentleman who's got $50 million in the bank or $100 million in the bank, why is he looking to get another $1 million? This money which he's going to put in a drawer and he's never going to use. There's no way anybody can spend $100 million, you know, unless you want to waste it. A person can't really spend that kind of money. And so why is he working for the money? It seems that possessing something is a... it's something people want. People want to possess a fortune. They want to possess certain things. So the Ezel Gimer HaKavish HaSameh B'Chelkai that he's talking about, someone who doesn't have the need to possess things. He needs, he doesn't say, it doesn't preach poverty. It's not saying to be poor. It means that a person is sameach b'chelkai. There's a certain amount a normal person needs. It doesn't say here to eat bread and water. But when you have what you need, and you have a few quarters jingling in your pocket after everything you need, so that's a rich man. And a person who's got more money that he has no use for, so either he creates new uses for it, new needs, or else it just sits there. It gives him headaches as far as keeping it. That's it. No, you can have money for tomorrow. Well, on the right Madrega, it may be so. I mean, the Chassidim have stories about certain rebbes. Every night they gave away every last penny, and the next day the Habitachin. So if these rebbes ever existed, I don't know, but today I didn't see any rebbe that's doing that. So, you know, it's more of an ideal. But so I don't know, to have it tomorrow, I'm not in that madrega. I'd like to have, I really would love to have it the rest of my life. I mean, I'm probably not going to live 120 years, but, you know, maybe 102 I'll take. So, you know, to have enough money till 102 and whatever I need, and like I say, a few quarters jingling in my pocket after that, that would be fine.
Is the
Ani
supposed to be
Sameach B'Chelkai? Ani is supposed to be Sameach B'Chelkai, but he's not a wealthy man unless he has what he needs. If he doesn't have what he needs, no one will call him an Ashir. That's interesting. He's calling that Anava. He's calling that humility. Someone has a certain amount, and he's happy with it. Technically, it's hard to understand that that's humility. When you see wealthy people, you understand it, because wealth typically brings haughtiness with it. Trump... Some of you in the shul had a business meeting, had to go to Trump's office. Says, the guy's nuts. He's got full-size images of him in the hall. He's got these full-size images of Mr. Trump, you know, he's 5.5 feet tall. What? He has a lot of people that doesn't change his own... he's just smart. He knows where to get the brains to do his business, but it brings haughtiness to him, what can I tell you? You know, if I had $1 billion, I'd probably be a big shot, too. So, okay.
When you tell the Gubarian who are other reporters who work, and from people who get stuck, they stop working, they thought they should stop working, they shouldn't, they have enough to last for the rest of their life.
It depends what they'll do with their, it depends what they'll do with their time. If they could use their time, if they're capable of sitting and learning, that's what they should do. If not, so let them use their time, hopefully they're giving tzedakah. It's not an aveira to make more money, it's just somewhat comical. I think it's funny. I think it's a comical thing. Again, if a person, you know, if I saw $1 million, if I had all the money I need, and there was $1 million on the floor, I'd pick it up too. But the need, the drive, it's the need for the money. To having the money, I'd love to have the money. But the wealthy people who have this tremendous brand to be wealthy, and then the next guy, it's okay, you're allowed to do it. It's a lack. It's not Sameach Bechelka. He's not happy with what he has.
The clinical term for it is called affluenza.
Affluenza. There's one person here in Flatbush who come out doesn't talk to me anymore. He once came to me the day of the crash. We're sitting here in the corner up front. He came to talk to me. I sat down with him. He was very tzibrachin. Then he lost. He tells me, today I lost $750,000. That's what he says to me. Very tzibrachin away. I did not feel bad for him because he's a wealthy guy. I couldn't help it, but I said to him, you probably have $750,000 left, right? He said, yeah. So I said, so you have more than me. So you want me to feel bad for you? That's what I said. Would you feel bad for me? I don't have this everything to lose. So it probably wasn't the right thing. But on the chaveira, he felt bad. I should have been nice. But Matt doesn't talk to me since then. He says hello, and that's it. He hasn't spoken to me a sentence since then. And I don't remember if he sends me invitations to his weddings anymore. It could be he doesn't. I didn't notice. But what should I do? It's hard to feel bad for a guy who's tzibrachin that he lost money, that, you know, he's not an usher. He has to be Sameach Bechel. For sure. The money he lost was the tzedakah pot. Ani Risha Vani Achron, you know. God says, I'm the first one. The money got lost. There's a great part. Hill says, you're allowed to divorce a woman, what's the Lashon of the Gemara, who says she burnt your supper. It's very hard to understand. So there's a vertel must be from one of the Gera Rebbe's. He says, she's cooking two portions. One burns and one doesn't. He says, I burnt your portion, you know. That's the 2 cents. Vinamik Levayer. He says, let's understand a little more deeply. Now he's going to try to give a little bit of a deeper idea, because the Gemara says, God only gives wisdom to somebody who has wisdom. Now here, in the next 3 paragraphs, just because we're running out of time, I'd like to tell you what he's going to say. He says something very interesting about wisdom. He's not talking about a marshal of wisdom. He's really talking about being wise. So he's saying to be wise, you have to learn from everyone. That we understand. See, he says, the Gemara says, who's wise? And who does Hashem give wisdom to? Somebody who has wisdom, God gives him more wisdom. So of course the question is, where did his first wisdom come from? See, he brings a number of psukim that say, Tchilas Chachma Yiras Hashem. That fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Somebody has Yiras Hashem, that's the beginning of wisdom. Now, fear of God doesn't seem to be the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God seems to be the beginning of righteousness, the beginning of tzidkus, of Maisim Tovim. What does it have to do with Chachma? As he explains, that it has to do with a person being able to accept from others. To be able to accept, let's say, criticism. That's also Chachma. Someone criticizes you, assuming that there's something to what he's saying. If he criticizes you and you listen, so you become a wiser person for it. You become better. If you react by pushing it away, as is the instinctive reaction, then you lack that extra wisdom. So if someone comes over to you and says he did such and such wrong, you can do it better. So if you listen, you have it. The Yiras Hashem is the humility that comes with a person. The way he describes here Yiras Hashem is somebody who stands in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and sees that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the difference between him and the next guy is minuscule. It's a small difference. You know, one person says, I'm richer than you, I have 20 jelly beans and you have 10 jelly beans. So clap a wealthy person, that's a joke. What's the difference? You have 10 more jelly beans. So that, he's not talking about money, he's talking about Chachma. In the realm of Chachma too, a person who has Yiras Hashem, that's the beginning of the Chachma. Alright, so this is his insight into these 3 things. We'll pick up, I guess, on the next page.